It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaw11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode, double episode today. Matt Hamilton of FanDuel TV and Evan Adams joined us a bit earlier. He does a lot of work with the Chiefs, so kind of give us a little bit of insight there. We talked some Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, if that's a distraction. Somehow the Jets were asked today, and Robert Saleh was asked if he has a field pass for Travis Kelce. Not sure why we're asking these questions, but again, it is what it is. We also just talked a little bit about some possibilities. He talked about, you know, Rob Gronkowski on their show, talking about Kirk Cousins, so tune into that. Weekly spot here with Brad. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jets-Patriots game, cover a couple positives. I know I was more negative than I ever am on Monday, so we'll try to brighten the mood a little bit, and then we'll just talk a little bit about QB options and the Chiefs game, you know, for the Jets. Brad, how are we doing today? I'm sorry, your Bears are just – what a week.
What a week is right. Yeah, that's why I'm here to talk Jets with you. As crazy as it sounds, just know, Jets fans, there's a whole fan base in the city that is infinitely more down bad than your own, so – but yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, no one raided the Jets building or any coaches' homes, but from the FBI, the Jets quarterback did not tell the coaches they suck. Like, it's, and the Jets did not lose by 50. So all these things, just, you could be the Raiders or the Bears. Devontae Adams, by the way, still would make the move at the deadline if I'm the Jets, because he's going to be as cheap as ever be now. That said, let's talk a little bit more about realistic things before we get into some more unrealistic stuff. Went back and watched the Jets game. I watched it once before I talked on the pod. I was obviously livid about, you know, Zach. I thought the play calling was not great, but again, there was some stuff. Zach checked out of a run where they had literally a man advantage in the run game, and he checked to the other side, and he ran into the boundary defender. It made no sense. There was a lot of that stuff happening. And I was kind of wanting to rewatch the offensive line. I guess, were there any we'll talk your overall thoughts in the Patriots game, and then we can kind of focus on more of the positive. What was the overall thoughts? Was it the same thing of just like, how is this happening again?
The number one positive for me was that offensive line. I mean, we knew Tippmann coming out was the best interior offensive line prospect in this class. I remember hearing, like, most teams viewed him as a guard too. So if you thought he was playing out of position, yeah, I get he was a center in Wisconsin, but he wasn't playing out of position. He was viewed as a guard prospect, and he was awesome. I thought early on in his NFL career, he'd be a plus run blocker pretty much from day one. But I thought there might be some you know, areas of weakness as a pass protector. We have him charted with zero pressures allowed and an 85 pass block grade against the defense that has been causing problems. I mean, Barmore looks like Christian Barmore of his rookie year. Keon White obviously can kick inside. Matt Judon can kick inside. Like, whatever they tried to do did not really work. Obviously, you know, Connor McGovern is struggling a bit right now. But so there's that. Yeah, that was a nice way to put it. And then, I don't know, I think Elijah Vera Tucker might just be your right tackle of the future. Like, I don't know. I don't want to tell them what to do. I actually should say, I didn't like that they switched three positions coming into the game. I think I tweeted that out, and I was wrong. I think Mekhi looked fine. Elijah Vera Tucker can play wherever you put him, and I think he'll be a positive. And then Tippmann looked really, really good. So that was the biggest thing for me because, you know, yeah, Zach is Zach. We get that. We don't need to belabor that point anymore. You and I have talked about it extensively. But if this unit can improve, play better, and you have guys you can shuffle around in a pinch, it's going to make a huge difference for whatever quarterback is playing, you know, week seven and on, whether that's Zach or somebody else.
Yeah, no, we'll get into the quarterback stuff. I agree with you on the offensive line thing. I also think going into 2024, if you have Mekhi, whether it's you pick up the fifth year option or you try to work out like a 2 year deal that's really, you know, maybe give some more money and guarantees next year, whatever it's going to be, we can talk about that in 15 weeks. Whether it's Mekhi at left tackle, Tippmann at guard, you know, and AVT at right tackle, for AVT's sake, he's going to want to play tackle because he'll get paid more in 2 years. And for the Jets' sake, if you can have both tackles and guard solved, and then in the offseason, you either bring Lincoln Tomlinson back on different money or you find a center, all of a sudden, now your offensive line's in a pretty decent spot with high-level potential, you know, and you can draft a guy in the first round, you know, because you have your first-round pick again, and maybe you use that on a tackle that can move into guard year one. There's a million things, but them playing together for multiple weeks is going to be really interesting and to see how they kind of develop. Because if you can get Tippmann kind of, whatever, 15 games worth of reps, like, that's awesome. Now you know you have AVT again. He's been really good at tackle. He was good at left tackle. He was good at right tackle. He's good at right guard. He was good at left guard. Like, he's really good. He's really good. You know, the chart came out last night. He's faced the toughest matchups of any guard in football, you know, through 3 weeks playing at guard. And he's one of the highest graded guards in football. So he obviously can do that well. It was one interesting note based on that chart. I did tweet it out. So if you want to go take a look at it, Dwayne Brown, I know he struggled those first 2 weeks, but it said it was literally charted. He faced the hardest matchups of any player in football. So not to beat a man while he's down, obviously injured there. A couple other, you know, positives. I thought Michael Carter, I know he didn't grade out well from a PFF perspective overall, but I actually thought he had some nice moments. He's just a really good player. The Jets corners as a whole, teams have figured out you don't throw outside against them, you know, maybe once in a while, but anything, it's usually in the flat. It's teams are just not testing them. They're just testing the short underneath stuff and trying to ask them to tackle consistently and running the football. The other guy I thought, you know, we talked about Bryce Huff a ton on this podcast. Like, how did the Jets, what's the path here? They have zero. They've had one sack the last 2 weeks. They've gotten pressure, but again, what's the path here to get, you know, sacking the quarterback again? Because we'll talk about Kansas City. They need to hit the quarterback if they have any chance of winning on Sunday.
I would agree. Part of that is the game script and the quarterbacks you've played. Like, Dak Prescott's not going to hold on to the ball for all that long when you're up 20 points, you know, in the first, whatever it was, very early. So I think that's part of it. And the Patriots, you know, do not have a good offensive line right now. It's also banged up with injuries. And I think you saw a concerted effort to first kind of leave Hunter Henry in a bunch. I think it's why Zeke played so many snaps, because he is a good pass protector. And again, they were just getting the ball out quickly. Unfortunately, I mean, Patrick Mahomes might be the greatest sack avoider in the history of the sport. We talk about so many things he does well as a thrower. He is that was even hyperbole. I think he might actually have that distinction. So you do need to hit him, though. You need to get pressure. Teams have been able to pick on Juwan Taylor a little bit. Obviously, Donovan Smith, who might not even be healthy, is gettable, no question about it. So, you know, I think that's part of it.
Oh, I think you're getting a holding penalty against Donovan Smith. It is his forte.
Yeah, the tweets from back in the day with Cam Jordan, every time Donovan Smith signed an extension, Cam Jordan would tweet out like barbecue chicken and all sorts of stuff. So you're going to get him. It's more about just making sure Mahomes. Here's the thing, though, what you talk about the coverage units, like if you can keep everything in front of you as they should do, Mahomes might have to hold on to the ball a little bit longer than he would like to. Like, this defense is set up to stop a guy. I mean, no one's set up to stop Patrick Mahomes, but I really do think it presents challenges, because if the coverage isn't there, you can have a great pass rush, but he'll just get rid of it. If you have both, like the Jets do, it's going to cause problems. So, you know, that'll be interesting if they can actually get sacks. Like you said, pressure is great, but you want to actually bring the quarterback down. But even a bunch of quarterback hits. I mean, look, Mahomes had his ankle rolled on last week. I know he came back in the second half and played through it, but maybe he's not at 100% and doesn't have that elusiveness and mobility he's used to having. And that could be how you stay in this game, which would be huge.
Yeah. The other kind of thing, I guess, to focus on, the Chiefs, obviously, when Travis Kelce's in there, are a totally different team. I talked with Matt a little bit of jokingly about the Taylor Swift stuff. We're not going to talk about that. I guess, no one's really had success doing it. Is it, you kind of can go two schools of thought here and how you stop the Chiefs offense from a Travis Kelce perspective. You kind of say, let's let Travis Kelce kind of get his and make it like a one-dimensional offense, that if they don't, or they're not perfect, we're fine. Or is it like, we're going to have, you know, him get double, triple covered, and, you know, leave everybody else one-on-one and hope that, you know, everybody else is perfect. Like, I'm not sure the strategy there. I kind of lean towards like what they've done with Buffalo, where it's like, we trust our guys And I know it's a different type of receiver. That's part of the issue here. But we trust our guys. Like, if one guy beats us and he single-handedly beats this defense, we're going to live with it. You obviously cannot let, you know, Mahomes get hot throwing other receivers and let Pacheco get off and let Kelce. Like, what would you rather take away? Everybody else? Or you try to just take away Kelce and let everybody else kind of figure it out?
Good question, because I think you saw, whether it was intentional or not, last year with Jacksonville in the playoffs. I mean, what, Kelce had like 18 catches in that game. And I do think to a degree, they knew they were going to get killed. They're one of the worst defenses covering tight ends. They're still in that category this year as well. It's weird because Foye-Aluokun and Devin Lloyd, like, they're solid players back there. But and even Andre Sisco's coming on now as a safety, but they still just cannot cover the position. But anyway, I honestly think I would try to limit him as much as possible and say, all right, let MVS and Noah Gray and Justin Watson and, you know, all these guys, Sky Moore, et cetera, let them beat us. Or, you know, just take away all the explosives, which obviously teams have done. And Mahomes is still able, you know, to just throw the football, you know, for 7-8 yards a clip. Like you said, get Pacheco involved. I mean, I think the Chiefs don't have a touchdown of 10 plus yards still this season, I'm pretty sure is the stat. And obviously, I know, which is crazy. They're one of like two teams in the NFL, I think. But the other team is on there because they stink, not because they're the Kansas City Chiefs. So, but I still think I would lean that way. Not an actual bracket, but I would have like Jordan Whitehead and CJ Mosley just shaded towards Kelce, like on a lot of snaps, and just say, don't let him get hot. Don't let him kill us. And yeah, force Mahomes to beat you with Kadarius Toney and all the guys I just rattled off.
What a ridiculous group of receivers. But again, they've invested a ton in the quarterback and the offensive line. And then, and honestly, in the defense and, you know, and Chris Jones, as much as, you know, he threw a temper tantrum and he should be getting paid like a top three defensive tackle, he does make over $20 million a year. It's not like he's some underpaid loser. It's actually quite directly the opposite. And again, horrible job by his agent negotiating that deal. It's another, that's neither here nor there. You don't have to talk on that one. A couple of things that happened this week, obviously, Joe Namath absolutely went scorched earth on the Michael Kay show. Whether you value an 80-year-old's opinion at this point or not, he is the face of the organization, and it's if Dick Butkus goes on and rips the Bears, or Bradshaw goes on and rips the Steelers, any of these guys, Brady goes on and rips the Pats, like these guys, their opinions matter whether people like it or not, and whether they're informed or not, it really doesn't matter. Squashing two things, which I heard on radio the last 2 days, the Jets do have a relationship with Joe Namath, not sure where that shit came from. I'm just going to put that out there. That was a really weird take that the Jets have done something wrong here. I don't even know that Zach has not met Joe Namath, but if he hasn't, it's not because the Jets have not. That's not a purposeful thing. So those were two rumors that kind of were out there that the Jets have deserved this. Really weird stuff. And I can tell you equivocally that's not true. But what do you make of a lot of this criticism? There's, you know, don't boo Zach Wilson. There's the fans are being too hard. Rodgers said kind of try to support these guys. What do you make of all this? Because it's like, I can see both sides, as I always say, there's usually two sides, but it does feel like a huge pushback of like, please support this kid. But the play on the field just warrants nothing but support. I mean, nothing other than support, because it's not been very good at all, obviously.
I actually do appreciate the Rodgers comment. He's been doing it forever in Green Bay too. Like, he cares about body language and how you're looking on the sideline and all that stuff. That is not a new revelation. I've listened to him say that for the last 15 years in Green Bay, and I do think it matters. Like, I agree. Obviously, it's hard to support the kid right now, but like, what benefit do you get out? I mean, look, fans can do whatever they want. They're going to boo. They should. But I do think as players, you put on a face, you fake it, you smile, you just say what you're supposed to say. You know, we talked about this last week with the, you know, the Breece Hall stuff and all that. Just there's no tangible benefit to not doing it. I get that it stinks, and they thought they were going to have this magical season with Rodgers. You know, we're robbed of a Rodgers-Mahomes matchup again this year. But I did, you know, appreciate Rodgers saying that, because it's not – he's been consistent on that. It's not some random opinion. Yeah, as for the Namath thing, I don't know what you really do there. But I will say, to a degree, you know, and I know this is solid just doing his job, and we, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's just messaging. It's just him doing his job. He gets taken out of context in a lot of these quotes. I mean, I laughed out loud when there was the quote going around. It was like, Zach gives us the best chance to win this past week. I know he says it every week, but okay, fans, if you've seen the quote that got tweeted out, go watch the video of Robert Saleh saying that sentence. It is the least confident sentence I've ever heard someone say. And he was like, Zach, you know, he gives us the best chance. Like, he didn't believe what he was saying. And so they get it. They're aware. They know they can improve their. You know, Trevor Siemian doesn't give you a lot of excitement, but they're doing something. Maybe they're going to continue to think about ideas down the road. They know. If you know, they know.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, Sal came out today and said, like, we know Zach has to be better. Like, it, I just sometimes wish he would say it after the game, because that's when people are at their height of emotion and they want a pound of flesh. I joked with you about the Yankee stuff. Like, a lot of times people just want to be like, no, dude, you're playing like shit. And, like, we know you're better than this. We all have faith in you. We have confidence, but you are not playing well, and we want you to play better. I know that's not how the 2023 athlete all works. Everyone gets different. You know, everyone can handle different criticism. What Tom Brady could handle is probably not what Zach Wilson can handle at this point in their career. Like, that's all fair. I want to talk quickly about the Simeon thing. I know Jed signed Simeon. Everyone is asking for, can they get one, you know, veteran guy in there? Simeon obviously played, you know, head of Rodgers incident where played on Monday Night Football, dislocated his ankle in really gross fashion 4 years ago. That said, he has made a Pro Bowl, whether his numbers warranted or not. And more importantly, in the last 2 years, 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, averaging close to 300 yards per start, or 240 or 250 a start, add in one gamers in relief. He's kind of an upgrade, and I kind of feel like he should be the quarterback week 5 against Denver and give you at least a shot to go to the bye 2-4. Am I crazy here? I know he's not good. He's kind of fine.
You're not crazy at all. You're not. I mean, look,
he didn't look that bad against the Jets last year. He really didn't.
That's what I was about to say. I was actually at that game, which was hilarious, because driving to the stadium, it was supposed to be Zach versus Fields, and then it was Trevor Siemian versus Mike White, which was pretty, and it was pouring rain. But anyway, that's my personal, you know, poor day aside. He's not bad. We're watching Josh Dobbs and Gardner Minshew of the world. Yeah, he's going to have a 5-yard average at the target. He's not going to hit anything downfield, but you just need someone who can stay on schedule, who can get everyone lined up in the right place, just like you said, who's not going to check out of a run or shift it to the other side towards the strength of the defense. Like, the little details and all that stuff, he's totally fine in that regard. He was not bad in that game. I mean, he had a couple nice throws to Claypool, who, you know, obviously dropped a couple of them, as he's known to do. Like, he's a good journeyman, solid backup, give you a start in a pinch type player, and that is currently an upgrade over Zach Wilson.
Yeah, look, I guess I want to kind of transition to, we've talked a little bit about it, but obviously things are going to kind of continue to become more and more clear. A, do you think they make another move at some point this year for either higher quality starter or not a backup level name? And what are some realistic names? Because you see a lot of different things thrown out there. The one that I think is the most unrealistic, there's some that we will talk about that are realistic, but the Stafford thing's not happening. I know the Jets called on Stafford. I think after week one or before, you know, it was like, oh, this is a hot, flashy name. The Rams are going to suck. The Rams are really well coached and are going to be a lot better than people think, especially with how bad, you know, they'll get 2 wins against Arizona. Like, there's like little wins there that they're going to figure out how to kind of maintain. Seattle's nowhere near as good as we thought.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Stafford's unrealistic, plus the number. Next year of dead cap money, the Rams are not eating like $68 million. That's unrealistic. They're not falconing this thing with Matt Ryan. What there is some other realistic names. Where do you see of like what's realistic? What are maybe some what's some timing that maybe you know fans can kind of look for? Of like I kind of floated out there post Eagles game. I feel it's the most realistic, especially with one of the names with you know where the schedule lines up for both the Vikings and the Titans for two teams in specific.
Yeah. So of those two, I mean, I think those are going to be the names we hear the most. I don't buy the Kirk Cousins for a couple of reasons. First, they don't have a backup quarterback, right? I mean, you're looking at Jaren Hall, the fifth round rookie out of BYU. He's not ready to play. That's why they brought in Jordan Ta'amu, who's been like a good XFL player, honestly a fun football player. But again, the Vikings are not going to say, hey, Justin, we didn't extend you this offseason. Would you like to play 10 games with Jordan Ta'amu under center? And then we're going to talk extension after that. He's going to say no. So, Cousins to me is not a realistic option. I get their 0-3. They had one score losses at Philly and against the Chargers in a game they very really realistically could have won. So, and they're in the NFC. They could probably figure it out. So, but to me, the other one, Ryan Tannehill, and it's more dictated by the Tennessee Titans than it is the New York Jets, where Mike Vrabel sitting in the AFC South with 1-2 Jaguars is not going to sit there and give up on winning this division. And as crazy as he is, because like they probably could, even though like, the roster is so bad, they probably could still win this division. But if they lose to the Bengals this weekend, maybe lose a couple more games, if they're like 1-5, unlike Minnesota, they obviously have Will Levis. They have Malik Willis in the building. They have guys they want to see play. It's the last year of Tannehill's deal. He's not coming back next year. That one I think is legit. And of course, everyone does the dot connecting, but it is meaningful that Todd Downing is the pass game coordinator in New York. It does. It matters. He's been with him for a long time. You also maybe could argue, oh, there's potential competition. If the Falcons want to quit on Desmond Ridder, maybe that, you know, forces the Jets to be like, okay, if we want to get this done, like we might actually have to push for it a little bit. But yeah, the compensation wouldn't be too big. So I think the Jets would be open to it. Like you mentioned earlier, they have a first round pick now, not for Ryan Tannehill, but they have a first round pick now at their disposal, which is nice to have in your back pocket just for adding talent to your roster. That one I do think is realistic. But basically, if you're a Jets fan, you have to root against the Titans the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'd say root against the Titans for both because they're in your conference, but also because that's probably the biggest path to Jets making the playoffs. Other than Zach figuring it out or Trevor Siemian finding the fountain of youth, it's probably a Ryan Tannehill level player that, yes, Tannehill struggled this year, but the Titans, again, their offensive line's heinous. And we know Tannehill are behind like bad weapons and a bad offensive line is never going to work. Plus the Titans offense has been boring for like 15 years at this point. So, you know, since they lost AJ Brown again, not been the same, he's not been the same quarterback, which the Jets have a mega star in Garrett Wilson at receiver. They have the run game where Tannehill's, you know, thrive, Downing, Hackett. There's a lot of things there that make a ton of sense. I still think it'd be like a 2025 conditional pick on snaps or how far they go, or maybe it's a 24 day three pick. Again, I know we kind of talked a little bit about it. Can you just explain a little bit the money from the Kirk? And I know we think Kirk's not as realistic. I fully agree. He's a no trade clause. He's not going to go the 1-5 Vikings to the 2-4 Jets. It doesn't really make a ton of sense. If he did, it's great. The Jets should be a playoff team. With Tannehill, they should be a playoff team. Frankly, with any league average quarterback, they should be a playoff team. I guess we're up with these two things, but can you just explain it, the Kirk and Tannehill money and how that can potentially work down in the future here? Because it's the Jets have cap space, but again, these contracts are not just like dollar for dollar.
So the way it breaks down, money-wise, it does. It's easier with Kirk Cousins, but again, we don't see it happening. But nevertheless, the way you do it is simply, you know, going over the cap.com, go look at the guy's base salary, so not his cap hit, his base salary, divide that number by 18, and then however many weeks we are into the season, subtract that amount out, right? So let's say we're talking that it's going to happen in week six, so like or like after 6 weeks, right? You just take two-thirds of the guy's salary, that would travel to the Jets. So for Kirk, after, you know, he has a $10 million salary. So you wait after 6 weeks, a third of it gets chopped off. You're bringing in a $6.67 million salary. The Jets can obviously fit that in. I think that draft capital would probably cost you a little bit more. But nevertheless, with the Titans, Tannehill does have a $27 million salary, which is pretty darn big. But again, with every week that passes by, $1.5 million is going to the Titans. So, you know, again, after week six, you chop off whatever that would be, trying to do math on the fly here, $9 million. So you bring in an $18 million salary. But What I think would happen with Tennessee is we've seen this a bunch across the NFL. Von Miller, probably the biggest example. It happened with Roquan Smith. It happened with, you know, Robert Quinn last year. The Jets could say, okay, Tennessee, look, right now we'll offer you a 2025 fifth round pick for Ryan Tannehill if we take on the entire $18 million salary. However, if you're willing, and this actually happened with Tannehill when he went to Tennessee, if you're willing to convert half of that $18 million into a signing bonus and pay Ryan Tannehill that money, we'll send you a 2025 conditional third instead of a fifth. And, you know, because you're eating all that extra, you know, cash for us. But option three, though, is they try to convince Tannehill, the person, not Tennessee, hey, man, agree to a restructured deal where you lower your salary. So not Tennessee retaining it. He just takes less money, which I think to a degree he'd probably be open to. I get it's his last time he's ever going to make real NFL money, but he's made a boatload, you know, already in his NFL career. And maybe he would say, I had the chance to, you know, win a couple playoff games in New York. I don't know, build my personal brand, whatever, in a big market as opposed to, I don't know, one of the smallest markets in the sport. That is the third path that maybe you try to consider. But anyway, so that's how it all breaks down.
He has made $195 million in his career, which is which is nuts. I don't think he's ever
made kids to throw. Teach your kids to throw football.
Yeah, teach your kids to throw football and stop playing wide receiver. Although I guess now he's play receiver. Last two things here. One, thoughts on what actually happens on Sunday. And then two, I'll ask you one or two other questions around the AFC East.
I think the biggest thing that people aren't talking enough about is the Chiefs defense is legit. Like very, very legit. And they're also the youngest defense in the NFL. I think Trent McDuffie is like quietly becoming a top 10 corner in the league. Maybe not there yet, but what I love about him is just his versatility. You can play him in the slot if you want to match him up against some teams that love to put their best receiver in the slot. Like against the CeeDee Lamb, I think he'd play 50 snaps in the slot. And then, you know, against somebody else, he would kick out wide. So, but then their front as well. George Karlaftis is starting to look like a former first-round pick. Obviously, we know Chris Jones is Chris Jones. And then, you know, great linebacker. They have four good linebackers. You know, the secondary is talented. Legarius Sneed is a good slot corner. The safeties are good players, and Justin Reed, you know, Brian Cook's coming along. They're their former second-round pick. So everyone's talking about their offense, which, of course, I understand. But that defense is, like, for real. So, yeah, I mean, look, I watched the Bears-Chiefs game. It was legitimately my Fox local broadcast changed to a different game at halftime. And Kurt Menefee was like, we're going to put on a more competitive football game. And Taylor Swift's in the building, and they're doing that. So it probably took a lot for them to go that route. But I'll be honest, I'm very rosy on the pod. I think this one's going to be pretty ugly, if I'm being frank.
Yeah, no, look, it's hard not to feel that way. I'm not sure how I'm going to lean yet. I think it's either going to be similar to a Dallas game, or it's going to be a game where you're like, how is this 20-17 with 4 minutes left? And like, wow, the Jets defense is balling. Similar to the Buffalo game, we're like, oh, wow, they have a shot here. Like, go make a play and, you know, maybe you steal one. The Jets always steal one or two games a year that you're like, what? And then there's one or two that they lose that you're like, there's no way they just lost this game. We saw it last year. They beat Buffalo when no one expected to, and then they went to New England and laid an absolute egg. Or New England and Minnesota, I can't remember last year after the Mike White stuff became a disaster after he got hurt, obviously. Dolphins-Bills Sunday, and then Niners-Cowboys next week. Those the two best games of the year already. Like, I feel like they might be the two best games of the year. I know we're going to get Dallas-Philly twice. Those kind of feel like the two best games of the year, no?
I agree. I mean, this Buffalo-Miami game is going to be awesome. I know Miami goes to Philly in, like, week seven, too, so that one's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't see – look, the defenses are talented for both of these teams, but – I don't really see how the defenses keep up here. I mean, the Bills secondary to me is a problem. Like, their safeties are ancient. Jordan Poyer has looked really bad. Micah Hyde is, I think, probably not even playing at this point. So, and then Tre'Davious White, love the guy, always have, but that ACL injury, I think, changed who he is as a player. So I don't see how they keep up speed wise with Miami. And then on the flip side, I like Miami, but Jalen Phillips, not 100%. You know, a couple other issues there. Obviously, I mean, Eli Apple, you can just, it's Stephon Diggs. If he gets a matchup with Eli Apple, I would just throw without even looking if I'm Josh Allen. So yeah, I think points. I think it's going to be a super exciting game. The total is like 53.5. I think it's still going to go over that number. That'll be a fun one to watch for sure.
Yeah. And then lastly, how excited are you getting about Caleb Williams? Are you like, are you in yet? Are you like not allowing yourself to get too excited? Like, where are you at with the sweepstakes?
Oh, I'm all the way in. I will say this. The Chiefs game was not Justin Fields' fault. I watched the film, and now we ignore my opinion. We've now seen like 7 different former quarterbacks, like Kyle Sloter, Kurt Warner, JT O'Sullivan, obviously. Like, he was not the problem in that game. He actually threw an absolute pearl to DJ Moore. He dropped it, and I think that was – they were going to lose regardless. But to me, that was kind of the flipping switch of this game's going to get out of hand in a hurry once he dropped that ball. So, but all that said, yeah, I'm all the way in. I watch – Caleb Williams, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy tape every single morning on Sunday mornings before the games kick off. I've been doing that since week 2. Here's the thing with Fields. Even if he does figure it out somewhere, it's probably not going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I was not a big Fields person coming out. I think C.J. Stroud's hopefully changing the narrative, you know, with Ohio State quarterbacks. He's looked awesome. Turbo Jared Goff. I know people for some reason thought that was an insult. It's not. Look at Jared Goff's numbers. That's a Pro Bowl level quarterback. The Texans need that if they want to D'Amico Ryans to kind of work there. But again, you know, I just Fields doesn't see that. Him and Zach Wilson have a lot of the same issues. Fields is obviously in a way better, you know, runner, but it's a lot of the same issues. If they don't see the field well, like they can't pull the trigger. When they do pull the trigger, it feels like they make the wrong decision. So appreciate everybody for listening again. 2 episodes out today. Make sure you guys are plugged into those. Enjoy the game Sunday. I'll be there, so I don't have to listen to the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift nonstop jammed into my brain. You know, camera shots every 2 seconds. I don't want to get canceled by the Swifties, but good for them. I want to watch football and enjoy football on Sunday. So appreciate everybody for listening. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll have one more set on Friday. Take care and talk to you guys soon.